When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, David Maddock here with you. Our fantasy baseball previews continue today. On the show, we'll preview the Oakland Athletics coming up a little bit later in the show. We've got a big golf tournament, of course, coming up this weekend. And naturally, Davis, we've got NFL free agency in full swing. And still waiting on official word with Aaron Rodgers, deciding what he wants to do. But naturally, a lot of other topics to cover on the show. So what's going on?
Well, I mean, honestly, I am pretty surprised by the first 24 hours of free agency. I assumed that the Rodgers thing would have broken yesterday. I thought that that's what we would be leading the show with today. I didn't think the Jimmy Garoppolo deal with the Raiders was all that surprising. I think if you read the tea leaves, that was one that definitely made a little bit of sense. Two things really surprised me. One, Jameis returning to the Saints for 1 year, $8 million, when I think there's going to be, I'm looking around and I see at least four teams right now that have really no plan at quarterback if something this offseason doesn't go their way. Like, for example, what are the Jets going to do if Rodgers says, you know what, I'm actually out. I'm just done. I'm going to retire. You go grovel to Zach Wilson and say, actually, we didn't even want Aaron Rodgers this whole time. We wanted to just go with you. What are the Tennessee Titans doing at quarterback? You know, it's like that doesn't make a ton of sense there. I don't really know if you can go into the season with Malik Willis. But Jacoby Myers getting 3 years, $33 million, when we all agreed this is basically like the worst free agent class at wide receiver that we've seen in some time, that it's not a particularly good incoming class of wide receivers either. I mean, I thought Jacoby Myers was going to get a lot more money than this. So maybe the NFL thinks there's other wide receivers who will be available in trade, or maybe Jacoby Myers is just not viewed that highly around the NFL, and DJ Shark and Mecole Hardman are going to get more money than we anticipated.
Yeah, we will see. But of course, Raiders, you know, sort of doing things all over and new again. We'll start there. As Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday ended up coming to terms with the Vegas Raiders. And so Josh McDaniels sort of dialing it back to the old New England days. Also, we have Jared Stidham going to the Denver Broncos as the backup to Russell Wilson. And Sam Darnold signs a one-year deal with the 49ers. The Falcons have also signed Jesse Bates to a four-year contract, $64 million. Trevor Bauer will sign in Japan this season. He didn't get a contract offer in the States. And how about this one yesterday? This kid, Duque Hebert, he ended up signing with the Detroit Tigers. He pitched for Nicaragua yesterday and struck out Juan Soto and some others and looked really good. And Davis, before he had a chance to go back on the bus all the way to the hotel, the Tigers decided, we want to sign you to a contract. Probably the best story of the World Baseball Classic. for a team that really hasn't done that well. Really good story here.
Yeah, I thought that was the coolest story coming out of the World Baseball Classic. Now, I have not been as dialed into the World Baseball Classic as you have, but that sort of feels like what the point of a global sporting exhibition should be, right? You know, you get this young Nicaraguan guy who ends up, you know, basically changing the entire path of his life. I mean, it's something that we love about the World Cup. You know, you get some random Costa Rican forward who's no one's ever heard of, and then the next week he ends up getting put on a plane to England and making millions of dollars. So I really enjoyed that. I thought the Trevor Bauer story was a little bizarre. I guess what he's thinking is, I'll just wait for all of this legal trouble, you know, all the, and to be fair, Trevor Bauer, kind of a jerk. Like, no one, he does not make a ton of friends in the media either. So I guess it's not that crazy that no team tendered him an offer. But for example, were Trevor Bauer, Craig, an NFL player, he'd be on a team. It's just, he really would be on a team. So I think, I guess what he's hoping is, I'll just take a year off. I'll go absolutely crush in the Nippon League, and some team will find a way in their hearts to forgive me my transgressions. But it is just a very weird story. And yeah, Stidham, I also thought Stidham siding with Denver was a little odd, because $5 million a year, $10 million guaranteed for a backup quarterback, that's a pretty good backup quarterback contract. And you get the sense probably that Sean Payton wanted Jared Stidham, which I don't know. I mean, do we see Jared Stidham start a game with Russell Wilson healthy in 2023? That's like a pretty big question.
Maybe so. Mike White also signed with the Miami Dolphins, so you know their backup situation there. But Davis, I was doing my show in the afternoon yesterday. I fully expected to be with you here on the show talking about Aaron Rodgers as a member of the New York Jets. We saw this report about Alan Lazard maybe signing with the Jets also. I mean, in typical Rodgers fashion, I guess we're going to have to wait this out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're all kind of sick of Aaron Rodgers at this point. Like, he and the funniest thing, and I know you agree with me on this, the funniest thing is how much he and Brett Favre did not get along, did not like each other, did not enjoy their time together in Green Bay. And Rodgers is just straight up tearing pages out of the Favre playbook. You know, the will he, won't he, the interviews, the media appearances, because Favre would just eat up those media appearances when he was will he or won't he. So I don't know. I'm very sick of it. I think Alan Lazard signing, just for a fantasy angle, Alan Lazard signing with the Jets would be a nightmare for Garrett Wilson.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
And Elijah Moore, because he would be playing in two wide receiver sets. So I'm at least hoping that that doesn't happen.
Well, we will. Maybe we'll get some clarity today. Who knows? It's Aaron Rodgers. Maybe another retreat. No clue. But coming up next, here's what we do know. After Scottie Scheffler last week took the player championship, they're back at it this week for the Valspar championship. Dubs Anderson's got some picks. So does Davis. We'll dive into the daily fantasy slate for the PGA Tour coming up this weekend right here on Fantasy Sports Today. So stay on the grid. Smoker be on Sports Grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In case you missed it, the Players' Championship, not with a lot of drama, maybe for the first time all season on the PGA Tour, Scottie Scheffler ends up winning pretty handily. So what does that mean for this coming weekend? Well, of course, it's a week off for some. Feels like we do have a pretty good amount of players playing in this weekend's Valspar Championship, not the full slate. Naturally, we'll get back to that soon. Of course, the Masters coming up as well. And joining us now to review what we should be doing in Daily Fantasy, we've got Dubs Anderson back with us here on the show, along with Davis. What's going on, Dubs? Great to have you back.
Yeah, how are we, gentlemen? Happy Tuesday. Another big week on the PGA Tour. And, you know, you make a good point there, Craig. 3 weeks out from the Masters. So this week for the Valspar Championship, we do have a few big names in the field, including Justin Thomas, Matty Fitzpatrick, Jordan Spieth, who has won at this golf course, returning off a bit of a layoff. But the big storyline going to be Sam Burns. Can he go three in a row? He's won the last couple here, winning last year in a playoff over Davis Riley. So no weeks off on the PGA Tour, but maybe there's a bit of a hangover for some of these big names.
Yeah, and we will see.
And we like when these guys have to fulfill their sponsor exemptions, right? So it's like the only reason Tommy Fleetwood and Justin Rose are playing this week, it's not because they really can't wait. You know, they're huge fans of Valspar paint and they really wanted to support it. The rules of the PGA Tour dictate you have to play one event every 5 years. So we are grateful. Although, Craig, I got to say, no person has cost me more money this year in golf betting and in golf DFS than Justin Thomas. So I either need him to win when I get him at 20-1 in one of these events, but honestly, him winning this event would really tick me off because I don't think I'm going to bet him here. And I need him to win in a stronger field. I don't want JT winning this week.
Yeah, well, obviously he's the highest priced player this week over on FanDuel. So that's a decision that has to be made. Gentlemen, let's take a look at the pricing this week with JT at 12,000. He's one of the bigger names in this tournament. As Dubs mentioned, you have Jordan Spieth at 11,900. Sam Burns is priced very highly because of his success here. At 11.7, Fitzpatrick at 11.5, Keegan Bradley, Dubs, boy, did he let me down last week. My gosh, what happened to that guy on Friday of last week? 11,300, and then Justin Rose at 11,000. Yeah, Bradley was looking real good there, Dubs, after Thursday, and then didn't make the cut.
Yeah, that's Keegan Bradley. He plays the game with a lot of intensity, and you just remind me, Craig, Keegan Bradley cost me a nice little ticket at this tournament 2 years ago. He was right in the mix on Sunday, but he just can't putt, and that's always going to be the knock on Keegan Bradley. You know, very consistent tee to green, but once he gets on the greens, a little to be desired. But, I mean, last week, that was a test, you know, the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass. This is another tough golf course, the Copperhead course. It's all about keeping it in play. I expect the winning score to be right around 15 under par. Out of all those big names, I wouldn't be surprised if a majority don't show up with their best stuff. You know, I think lacking a bit of motivation, it will be tough for him. But I'd say Jordan Spieth stands out to me. He's been playing some really consistent golf of late, 3 top 20s out of his last 4 starts. What have you got to do well around this golf course? You need a bit of shot making. You need a bit of creativity, imagination. 3rd in scrambling right now on the tour and 6th in approach play from 150 to 175 yards. There's 5 par 3s out there on the golf course this week. Jordan Spieth out of the top tier players for me.
So I think Dubs raises a pretty interesting point, which is, you know, there are competing sort of goals between guys on the PGA Tour right now, in part because of what is going on with the PGA Tour in 2024. You know, guys who are inside the top 50, you basically guaranteed yourself, like, you know, just let's say, for example, let's say if Tyler Duncan gets into the top 50 of the FedEx Cup and the official world golf rankings, it's going to be completely life-changing for him. You know, he's going to go from playing every single event, you know, probably sleeping in days ins and stuff on days off, to being a multimillionaire pretty much overnight, guaranteed multimillionaire. Whereas Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, these guys are locked in. They're not falling out of the top 50. They are guaranteed, you know, they're totally taken care of. And I think if you look specifically at Matthew Fitzpatrick's results, I think you can tell he is totally working through it right now. This is goal in all these events. It's not, I'm going out here to win. It's, you know, I'm working on this, I'm working on that. And I think the same thing is true for Justin Thomas, which probably explains why I keep losing money on him, which is his swing is not really where he wants it to be right now. And I think Spieth, Burns, Fleetwood, Rose, Keegan, and McCarthy all there at the top. I think they're at this event 100% good form, good short-term form, good long-term form in it to win it. Now, it's a week of golf, Craig. Like, anything can happen. But I for once, my money is not going to be on JT and Fitzpatrick this week, and we'll see how that ends up treating me on Sunday afternoon.
All right. Well, let's dive in deeper, Dubs, to Denny McCarthy here, who Dubs just over Davis just mentioned. You know, having a really good season on the tour. What do you make of his success?
Look, I love Denny McCarthy. It is only a matter of time. He's 3 for 3 cuts made here. So he's had the 3 starts, 1 top 10 finish. He's always played the weekend. He's had 3 top 15s out of his last 5 starts on the PGA Tour. But the other 2, he's missed the cut. So it's rocks or diamonds. We know how good the putting is. He's sitting at 25th in strokes gained putting, but I would still argue the best with the flat stick. And this is a golf course where, you know, it eliminates, well, it doesn't eliminate, but it nullifies the advantage of the high ranked golfers in the world so good off the tee, because it's all about placement. You know, there's a lot of dog legs out there for a Florida golf course. There's a lot more undulation. So for a guy like Denny McCarthy, who sort of plots his way around a golf course, I think this one absolutely sets up well for him. The recent form, I think it's been fantastic. And then the course history, he's got to be in the mix. It's only a matter of time before he gets that breakthrough win. I'm going to have one final go of it here. Denny McCarthy to get the breakthrough win.
Yep, I'm definitely with you. Actually, if you extend him out to the last 50 rounds and you adjust for difficulty, McCarthy is the best putter on the PGA Tour, which is like, I mean, you know, Denny McCarthy doesn't really gain strokes off the tee, does gain strokes approaching the green and around the green. But as Dub said, huge advantage for him this week, because Thomas and Fitzpatrick and these guys, they're not going to be able to just hit their standard 310 center of the fairway shot. You got to do some shot shaping, a little bit more creativity this week. I think that is going to benefit McCarthy in a big way.
All right. And then finally, gentlemen, Wyndham Clark, another name to keep an eye on this weekend over, of course, a chance for anyone really, Dubs, to succeed this week. But it seems like this is someone that we should keep an eye on.
Yeah, another young guy who's sort of been trending in the right direction the last couple of seasons on the tour. You can get a decent price there, but on a golf course that will stretch out over 7,300 yards, par 71, Wyndham Clark, I did mention that, you know, it sort of plays well to the small ball, but he's not lacking plenty of diesel. So if he gets after it, absolutely, Wyndham Clark could be in the mix. And I feel like this is a great week for, you know, a bit of a value play. And Wyndham Clark, a name that still sneaks under the radar, despite how good he is tee to green.
Yep, I think Dubs hit the nail on the head. One, I don't think he's going to be that popular of a pick, because he does gain so many of his strokes off the tee, does gain so many of his strokes with the driver. But this is also like the best stretch of golf he's played in his career. If you look at his rolling stroke averages on Data Golf, it's like this is the best his baseline has ever been. And the key point we've kind of been hinting at for 12 minutes now, is I don't think we're going to see a prestige winner this week. I don't think this is a winner circle where it's a bunch of guys that you normally see on a Sunday. I think this is a, you know, we get, oh, you know, the great Monday Q school story finishes in third place or whatever. So I like betting guys a little bit deeper down the board this week and using those guys on FanDuel as well.
All right, gentlemen, 30 seconds to go. Give me a winner from each of you.
Oh, that's tough. I like Jordan Spieth, and I'd say Denny McCarthy would be the top play at a number. A couple of value bombs, Davis, Riley, Maverick, McNeely, I'd throw on the card. That's four picks, not one. Apologies.
I'm going to say McCarthy wins. I'm going to say he gets the breakthrough win. I like Tyler Duncan at 100-1 on FanDuel as your value stab this week. Another guy playing great golf.
All right. I like 100-1. That's for sure. Dubs, thanks again for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, boys. Let's go. The Valspar.
All right. We got a fantasy baseball preview of the Oakland A's coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. Well, it's fun to do these fantasy baseball team previews, Davis, every day because we give everybody an idea as to who we like for fantasy baseball draft season. I know a lot of the big drafts in the NFBC are all coming up this weekend and next weekend too. But unfortunately for us, there's going to be a day or two when we're going to look at a team and it's just not going to be that good. And today, unfortunately, just happens to be one of those days. So it's trying to find diamonds in the rough on the Oakland Athletics. But Davis, this is not a team that hasn't had fantasy stars in the past. You know, of course, they had Matt Olson and they had Starling Marte at one point in Oakland. And they had Sean Murphy behind the plate, of course, and Marcus Semien and really good pitching, too. But Oakland's just not in a position that they're going to compete this year. So we kind of got to dive a little bit deeper here and take some very big dart throws because there are not a lot of players being drafted on fantasy draft day that play on Oakland.
No, and I suppose the interesting thing is if someone does break out on this team, you know, whoever it might be, maybe it's maybe it's Shea Langeliers at catcher, maybe it's JJ Bleday, whoever it might be, that guy is going to have absolutely no impediments to playing time. That is one of the things we worry about in general with young players, is that maybe they're even performing above expectations. Maybe they're doing a little bit better. Or on the other hand, Bobby Witt Jr., that one of the concerns last year would have been, okay, yeah, we know he's got power. We know he can steal. But if he's hitting 180 and striking out 30% of the time, aren't they just going to send him down to the minors? You know, Jared Kelnick with the Mariners or whatever. There's like no way. That's just not happening on the Oakland A's. It does not matter how bad Estuary Ruiz is at striking out. That dude is not getting benched. And he might bat ninth or whatever, but he also might bat ninth, hit 210, and lead Major League Baseball in steals because that is his skill set. I suppose Bleday is sort of interesting, and he maybe is not even in the projected opening day lineup for the Oakland Athletics, but I believe he was a Miami Marlin prospect for a while, actually, and was pretty well regarded in his time there. He had 204 plate appearances last year, 5 home runs, 4 steals. What happened, though? 167 batting average. Can't have that guy in the lineup, right? Well, for the Oakland A's, who cares? Who cares if he's hitting 167? So I'm a little bit interested in him. Probably the two guys I would be taking on this team for fantasy baseball are Ruiz and Langeliers, right? Because Langeliers, again, why would he not play?
You're right. It's always funny to hear you talk when, and it's not your fault, you know, because I know that you're focused in on like all this other stuff, but it's like, as I'm listening, I'm like, oh, Davis doesn't know that JJ Bleday got sent to the minors yesterday, but all right, you know, as soon as he's done talking, I'll let him know, but it's okay.
It doesn't make any sense for Jace Peterson to play instead of him for a full year, right?
No, but the problem is that they paid, you know,
yeah. So they did
$5 million to get, you know, to get to a point where they're where their salary structure doesn't look like they're tanking. That's what Oakland, you know, that's what Oakland did, Pittsburgh did. You know, they got, they get to that floor, and Jace Peterson was part of that, so he's going to play. I mean, Blaine may be a long play at this point, but I'm just not sure. He hasn't hit it all in the big league, so I'm not sure that we're on the same page there with that. But hey, come April, some guy struggles, he could come up. Let's take a look at the lineup here. Tony Kemp's ADP, I think, is a little too low. I mean, he's a leadoff hitter in Major League Baseball. Now, he will not be on the team in August and September, that's for sure. But he's going to lead off. He's talked about wanting to get on base, stealing some bases. He just is he's not going to hit for average, and he's not going to hit a home run. So it is steals or nothing with him. Ramon Laureano is in the top 250, a draftable outfielder for sure. Maybe the most upside for anyone here is Seth Brown. I could see Seth Brown, Davis driving in 25, 30 home runs, but the reality is he'll have the least runs driven in if you're still going by that in fantasy and you're using RBIs. It's not going to, he's going to drive in 50. I mean, that's all there's going to be. Jesus Aguilar to me, I don't know, not a non-draftable player. Jace Peterson should never be batting fifth in any lineup, but here he is on Oakland. Shea Langeliers, we have another outfielder. This is the first player that we've talked about since we started that I have never heard of, Connor Capay. I have no idea who that is. ADP 700.
No clue.
Yeah, I've never heard of him. Okay, so that's the first name that I have not heard of since we started this. Nick Allen, 684. And Esteri Ruiz is like the Miles Straw Davis of the last couple of years, which is people are drafting him in the top 300, as you mentioned astutely, could lead the league in steals. So based off that one skill set, if he was able to get himself to the top of the lineup, a fantasy star. But maybe like Miles Straw, it never happens. He's batting at the bottom of the lineup. He can't hit his weight. And then he's kind of stuck. And then a guy like you mentioned, like J.J. Bleday, it's like, whoop, let's swap him out. And that's the end of the story. So that's why Ruiz is going. People may be shocked to see a top 300 guy, but he was involved in one of the bigger trades for them this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying, right? Is like these guys all stink. Like they're just, there are so many guys who can fail for this team that it just feels like whoever, so many guys are going to stink. Whoever can do anything who's not being paid a bunch of money, to Craig's point, you know, anyone who's getting paid any sort of reasonable salary by the Oakland Athletics is going to play. And certainly at some point, we're going to have a fantasy or reality about the Oakland Athletics where it's like 917 people went to the matinee game between the Rangers and the Athletics on a Tuesday afternoon. Fantasy reality, your high school football games had more people coming to them than an Oakland A's matinee game. And I'm for sure going to say reality, but these, so few of the guys on this roster are even interesting from a skills perspective. Like Peterson doesn't have enough power. You know, Nick Allen, like totally useless, not even going to be a batting average guy for you. I guess Laureano, you know, Laureano has been a pretty reasonable guy for fantasy before, but his, again, the issue is when you are on the Oakland Athletics, where are the runs coming from? Where are the RBIs coming from? No one's going to be on base ahead of you. No one's getting on base behind you. So yeah, it's, for me, it's like, honestly, just mostly ignore this deal. Oh, Ruiz is interesting because if he can, I mean, Craig, what if he can hit 217, he can be good enough to be a plus EV fantasy baseball player. Because again, if you're another thing is on these bad teams, and we've seen this with the Royals before, when you're bad, just give everyone a green light. Just whoever wants to steal a base, go steal a base. Cause who cares about giving away an out on a 100 loss team.
It's not been Oakland's way though. That's the problem for the last 20 years. True. It's like they don't steal. But you look, maybe that changes this year. Once they traded Sean Murphy off this team, you know that they're headed toward 100 losses. I think in labor, the draft that I just did, the auction, I think Ruiz and Seth Brown, oh, and Laureano, those were the three, and that was it from Oakland's offense that were even off the board. Now, there was no pitchers taken here. But I'm going to give you some hope on one. So Paul Blackburn, if I told you that he was Oakland's all-star last year, you may be surprised, but that is true. They ended up signing this Japanese pitcher, Fujiyami, but I don't believe that this guy is going to be a star of any kind, although he'll probably throw 150 innings for them. James Caprellian is a nice story because he's back after several injuries. Drew Rusinski, I'm going to talk a little bit more about here, and then J.P. Sears is a nice young player, but again, first year and a half in the big leagues, he's going to struggle. Rusinski Davis is interesting, because he's a converted relief pitcher that went overseas that had a lot of success that is now trying to do it with Oakland. Somebody in a reserve round, last pick, just to see what ends up happening here. But he had so much success once he left the United States. If that translates at all, you could be getting a diamond in the rough. That's all I got with this step.
Well, I actually thought this was sort of interesting. You know, I assumed that there would be a pitcher I've never heard of who was going like 217 overall, you know, some prospect or whatever, because that's been the thing with the A's for a long time. I mean, not even talking about, you know, when they used to be good, like 2014, 2015, Brandon Moss, Josh Donaldson, like not even talking about that era, but even when they stunk, they would have three starting pitchers who would be locked in at a 3.8 ERA. Obviously, they play at one of the biggest pitcher stadiums in all of baseball. But if you just look at their steamer projections, they don't have anyone projected to have a sub-4 ERA. I mean, that's got to be, I mean, one, that is just unbelievably bad. Like, how can this be the pitching staff? But I just don't, you would think with all the prospects they've had, and they're also, I believe this is true, Craig, they've been regarded as a team that has a strong pitching coach staff that they know how to develop young guys pretty well, that they're able to, like with this Rosinski guy, bring a guy in with sort of an unorthodox delivery or skill set and turn him into a good Major League Baseball pitcher. I just am not really seeing anything other than like AL only type stuff here, really.
Yeah. And again, I mean, that's the dynamic that the Oakland A's and some of the other teams at the bottom sort of speak to the haves and the have nots of Major League Baseball. Like, how can you possibly expect this team to compete even with the Texas Rangers? And the Texas Rangers, by the way, haven't been that good over the last few years, but that's the dynamic there. Trevor May was signed, Davis, in the offseason. So, you know, there's a chance for some saves there. The one thing that I would say about the bad teams is that they're not going to score a lot of runs, so the games are close. You may get some opportunities there. But again, another player is going to get traded in July. So, you know, shelf life for him is 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, the bullpen isn't even full of like, oh, this, you know, really high upside, 35% strikeout rate type guys. Like, it's just really, uninspiring. But to me, this is a bummer. Because the A's are a team, it's like a historical team in the league. So it's just sad, you know?
And when they do well, people do show up, 20, 30,000 people every single night. All right, coming up next, we've got another signing in the NFL. Not of a huge variety, but it will affect fantasy. We'll touch on that next. We also have some fantasy or reality. So stay on the grid. We'll be right back after this quick time out. Don't go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Before we get to a little fantasy reality, we've got one signing right now in free agency in the NFL. Has fantasy implications. We're going to get to that in just a sec. Follow us on Twitter. That's at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread, all of the free agent signings, and of course, March Madness getting underway. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. All right, Davis. So the Dolphins re-signed Raheem Mostert at running back. The Dolphins used several running backs over the course of the season. People probably don't even remember that their big running back signing last offseason was Chase Edmonds, who's looking for a team right now. But Mostert, you know, look, I mean, he's gonna get some opportunities. It's Mike McDaniel, familiar with the offense. And I believe the Dolphins end up doing more at that position, but he's the guy for now.
Yeah, I mean, they have him. I believe they have Jeff Wilson Jr. as a restricted free agent, so they can match, I believe, if a team wants him. Remember, Jeff Wilson is very familiar with the McDaniel system. They still have Savon Ahmed, who, again, you got to go way back. You got to remember all the way back to 2020. He was their leading rusher for the last six games of the season. Miles Gaskin, who didn't even play last year, was actually behind Ahmed because Ahmed's active for special teams. He's still on the roster. I mean, it is kind of funny. But I think you're right. I mean, I think the Dolphins probably seem like a favorite to draft a running back in probably the second round of the NFL draft. You know, maybe they'll add, Eric Gray out of Oklahoma, maybe Zach Evans out of Ole Miss. Like this is a pretty strong second and third tier of running back type class. Like there are lots of guys out there who are sort of interesting. And look, Craig, more big news in the New York Jets front. Not only are they trying to reach a deal with Allen Lazard, but reports from Adam Schefter are that they've also reached out to, of course, Randall Cobb, to bring Randall Cobb in from free agency. So some more of Aaron Rodgers' drinking buddies are coming in.
All right, we will see. We got to have that story today, hopefully. Maybe something is breaking on the Pat McAfee show. I don't know, but either way, we'll wait for it. Hopefully have it today on Newswire. All right, time to talk some more quarterbacks. Time for some fantasy or reality. You know, when you really think about it, what the Raiders did over the last few months is peculiar, to say the least. And I think that it goes without saying that, Davis, that Derek Carr is not a top five quarterback in the NFL and probably not top 10. But all of the issues that the Raiders have had through the years, how many of them really were Derek Carr's fault? Like when you go back and you really look at it, well, the Saints think that none of them were because they're paying him to be the highest paid quarterback they've ever had in their history, including Drew Brees, paying him a ton of money. So the Raiders decided, okay, that's it. Not only is that it, we just don't even show up anymore. We're going to let you go. And then they pivot over to sign Jimmy Garoppolo, who, I probably like a little bit more than you. I think he's okay. But fantasy reality here, Davis, Jimmy Garoppolo is an upgrade for the Raiders over Carr.
He's definitely not. Now, is he a downgrade? Definitely. I don't think he is a downgrade either. I think probably pretty reasonably you could say they are basic. I mean, I guess sort of the big secret in the NFL is that there are probably five guys who create the offense themselves. You got Mahomes, you got Allen, you got Joe Burrow. I'd probably put Jalen Hurts in that group. I would have put a younger Aaron Rodgers in that group. I think I would probably remove him from that now. I'd probably put a younger Tom Brady in that group. Obviously, he's retired, not available anymore. Wouldn't be in there. I think you could maybe argue for Justin Herbert, although the important game results for Justin Herbert have not been great in his short career. But probably 15 of these guys you can win with, but it's very situation dependent. And we've seen that with Jimmy Garoppolo, a lot of great seasons, way better than any Derek Carr season. But Derek Carr mostly had dumb, bad coaches, mostly did not play with all pro level guys around him. We'll see what ends up happening there in New Orleans. But I think probably the number one reason, Craig, why Derek Carr is why Jimmy Garoppolo is not an upgrade: Derek Carr, zero missed games via injury in his career. Not once, yeah. Not ever. Never hurt his ankle, never had a concussion, never got sick and had to miss a game. Jimmy Garoppolo has missed more games than he's played in his NFL career. I'm not one of those people that says the best availability is availability, because the best availability is being very good. But if you're going to give me two similar-ish quarterbacks and you tell me one of them has never missed a game and one of them has missed 55% of their career games, I'm going to take the guy who's healthy more often. So I got fantasy.
Yeah, this is an easy fantasy for me too. I am so curious to see how Carr does with the Saints this season. And I don't know if they're done. If they are done with their offense, then I don't know that Carr is going to be much better. But how about Devontae Adams? Goes from Aaron Rodgers. Now, then he goes to his buddy in Derek Carr. Now he goes to Jimmy Garoppolo. Who even knows what's going on there with the Raiders, to be honest with you? We mentioned earlier they signed Jacoby Myers. I think Jimmy's going to be all right there. I don't think he's going to make them better than Carr. I don't think that he's going to be worse. But to say that he's an upgrade, I think is sort of silly. Let's remember, a couple of years ago, Carr was one of the best passers in the NFL, still at his age. So, going to say fantasy. They better be running the ball a lot, unfortunately, which is not the direction anybody wants to go these days, but that's probably what's going to happen with the Raiders next year. All right, let's move on from there to the NCAA tournament. You'll be able to watch Jay Wright calling some of the NCAA tournament on CBS, True TV, TBS, etc., TNT, because Jay Wright now does not coach Villanova anymore. Now, once upon a time, one of the best coaches in college basketball, coached Villanova national championship. Fantasy reality, though, if there was a coveted coach, Davis, he'd be it right now. No question. Fantasy reality, Jay Wright done coaching.
I mean, again, this is not going to be a situation where I am going to provide the absolute best insight, but I do know that what happens when these guys who have lived their entire lives coaching, right? It's they live it, they breathe it, and then they go away from it, and they do TV, and they get paid a bunch of money to work. I mean, what would you conservatively say going from coaching a very competitive, high level college sports team to being on broad? I would say it's 50% less work, maybe even more. I mean, you're probably eating dinner with your wife every night, spending time with your kids and your grandkids. I guess I don't know if Jay Wright has grandkids, but I know that the one analog I have here for an NFL coach is Bill Cowher, where for about 5 years after Bill Cowher retired from coaching the Pittsburgh Steelers, his name would be put in every, didn't matter who it was, didn't matter the team, didn't matter if it was a Steelers rival. It was, oh, Bill, yeah, reports are Bill Cowher might be interested in coming back. And now we are so far removed from that. I haven't heard anyone mention Bill Cowher coming back to coach a team in at least 3 years. So I got fantasy here. Once you get that cushy TV gig where the broadcasting gig where no one really expects anything of you other than to show up and be yourself, you're not going back to the grind of coaching. So I got fantasy.
Yeah, I think though I would say that college a little bit different than pro. And I'm going to say reality here. At some point, some team, like as an example, I'm not to say that North Carolina is going to fire Hubert Davis or anything like that, but it's like at some point, some historic team is going to look internally and say, let's just throw the biggest bag ever at this guy and see what he says. And my guess is he takes it. So I'm going to say fantasy. I'm going to say that he's not done. And being on TV is only going to help his situation. And to your correlation, John Gruden is a great example of that. He just waited and waited and waited until the absolute most money was out there, and then he took it.
Sure.
With the Las Vegas Raiders, Oakland/Las Vegas Raiders, I guess it was at the time. All right, finally, there is a cruise around the world, a three-year cruise around the world, Davis. You're visiting hundreds of countries, visiting wonderful cities, cost you a lot of money for sure. But you take 3 years off and basically see the world on this cruise. Now, obviously, things have changed with cruises over the last couple of years, and now they're back sort of in full swing again. So I would ask you, Davis, you got 3 years off here from Sports Grid. They've just given you not one, not two, I feel like LeBron, 3 years off, 3 years off. And you're going on this cruise. And let's even make it spicier here. Let's say, Davis, this wasn't even going to cost you that much money. Okay, this was not going to cost you the sticker price as to what it was. Fantasy or reality, you would take a three-year cruise around the world.
Yeah, so if money is no object here, I'm not stressing on this cruise about like how I'm going to pay for it, what my retirement's going to be like. If basically money is removed as a consideration or as a concern, this is super easy reality because I want to see the world. I want to see the Cape of Africa. I want to go to Greece. I want to go to Australia. I want to go to New Zealand. I want to go to China. Like, I want to have these experiences. I want to, hear people speak a different language, see all this stuff. And this is like, it's got to be like the easiest way to do this, right? As opposed to like coordinating, like, I'm going to get off this boat and then get on this boat. Then I got to take a train here. Then I got to take a flight from Hungary to Kazakhstan or whatever. Like, you're just going to get to see all of this stuff, and someone else is going to take care of it. Your food's going to be taken care of. You're going to have a bed to sleep in. Yeah, this is a reality. I'm totally in on this.
Yeah, this is not it for me. I would love to do one of these trips around the world, but I don't know. I think I'd feel pretty confined in that stateroom. I don't know. Like, I guess it just sort of depends. Like, that's not something that we've thrown the caveat here, I guess, at this one. It depends on the room. Sure. It depends on the circumstances for me as well, because those things could be really small. And I'm going to say fantasy here. I have not been on a cruise in a long, long time. And I used to love them. I used to go all the time. I used to go probably once a year living in Florida. Of course, the ports are right there. You get to go out there, whether it was Royal Caribbean or Princess or Carnival is the other one, too. So, I'm going to say fantasy here. But I'm not adverse to like taking these trips like at all. Like, I think that's got to be you know, somewhere, you know, on the radar soon. But 3 years, Davis, that's a long time, man. How about like 3 months?
Sounds like a blast, though. You're going to get to travel the world. What's funny, though, Craig, is I, in general, would not take a cruise as a vacation. That would not even be on my top. Like, just like, oh, I'm going to go hop on a Carnival cruise and I'm going to go down to, you know, Puerto Vallarta or whatever. You know, I'm going to leave from the coast of California, go down, come back, whatever, for a week. That, no chance. Like, I'm not doing that, not signing up for that, not paying for that. I read this, if you've never read it, there's this great essay by David Foster Wallace called A Supposedly Fun Thing I'll Never Do Again, which I read probably when I was like 14 or 15, and is basically about going on a cruise, thinking you should be having a really good time and not really enjoying any part of it. And that's kind of always stuck with me. But the opportunity to like literally see the world, which is, I mean, it'd be too much for me to pass up. So I'd make do in my small little stateroom, I think.
All right, fair enough. All right, before we go to the break here, give me the story of the day that's coming in the NFL. Let's not use Aaron Rodgers. What? I mean, you're right, though. It's sort of opened up fast, Davis, I would say, yesterday, but a lot of non-skill position players, so it really didn't affect me. What do you think happens? 30 seconds.
Chris Godwin gets traded sometime in the next 72 hours. The Buccaneers released yet another starter, Shaq Mason, today. No reason for Chris Godwin to be on this team. Chris Godwin's going to be traded to a good team by the end of the week.
All right, there you have it. Look in the crystal ball of Davis Maddock. We'll be right back for a little Sports Grid 60. Early line coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back, Fantasy Sports. Today, before we get out of here, we get one final piece of commentary from myself and Davis Maddock, 60 seconds of sports talk. Before we wrap it up today, let's get to Davis. Here's the Sports Grid 60.
Well, of course, I had to end the show on Aaron Rodgers, because this is the thing, Craig, that I don't really get. I would assume part of why he would want to go play for the Jets would be because they have Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore. Maybe he even wants to play with Corey Davis. What I don't understand is why he wants to bring his teammates, Allen Lazard and Randall Cobb and whoever else we might see end up getting signed by the New York Jets. Because these guys, I mean, the Packers have done nothing but fail for the last decade. Aaron Rodgers, maybe who could have been the greatest quarterback of all time, has won his conference one time and has spectacularly failed each of the last three seasons with Cobb, with Lazard, you know, without Devontae Adams. And it seems very weird and counterproductive to me to say, I want to leave this situation where I've done nothing but fail at the highest level, go to a new situation, but I want to bring my same teammates who, you know, we scored 7 points at home against the San Francisco 49ers. Just bizarre.
All right, I want to give some advice here out because, of course, you got to fill out your brackets here in the next 48 hours before the NCAA tournament. My advice to all is if you're playing in a tournament with a lot of people, fill out two brackets. Do two. Always do two. One, make sure you make out because you want to have fun. You want to just take all the upsets, you know, pretend like this is going to be the best tournament of all time. But what you don't want to do is just have that one, because if it's not the case, you don't want to be fully disappointed and not watch the rest of the tournament. So do one that has some of the number one seeds going to the end, and do one with the greatest tournament of all time with the upsets. And hopefully at least you'll be in the mix at the end, unless you're playing with like thousands of people. Then can't guarantee it. All right, that'll do it for our show. Thanks again to Dubs for coming on. Of course, for our producers and my co-host, Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. I will see you back here at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire. Hope everybody has a great day. Smarter to be on Sports Grid. Enjoy the early line. It's up next.